Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Here's a deep drive to center. Going back is Carr Armstrong to the wall. Makes the catch. And Pete forgot how many out there were. And now the runner is going to try to score. And he does. Pete Carr Armstrong thought that was the third out in the inning. He put his head down. His teammates Suzuki and Tucker yelling for him to throw the ball in, and he realized too late, tagging and scoring from second, Mason Wynn, and the Cardinals lead 8-5.
Pete, can you just walk us through the fourth inning? Is it as simple as just not knowing how many outs there were?
Yeah. Simple as that.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is the voice of PCA. He is usually a lot bubblier.
Yeah, a lot more
happier.
Buoyant. A lot more happy. No. Nothing to be happy or buoyant about. Not after you lost again in St. Louis, second night in a row. You lost now 5 out of 6, is it, with the Cubs? And he was a big reason why, or he contributed to the loss. He's used to contributing to victories. You can't lose track of outs. You can't be, you can't be the guy who, at that point of the game, forget that you aren't catching the third out, that there's still a guy who can tag up from second base. And he did. They scored, and the Cardinals win by 1.
312-644-6767. Let's try Steve. Steve's in Elmwood Park. Hey, Steve.
Hey, good morning, guys. I've been saying they should need to switch up the lineup. David, I'm with you. I don't know why Bush isn't batting higher and Swanson's batting fourth or fifth. But also, as I mentioned to Dustin, this is the first series against St. Louis. Why isn't our best defense out there? Suzuki had 2 errors on Sunday in right field. He was back out there on Monday in right field. Yesterday he was in left field. Maybe if Happ is in there, he robs a home run because it was right up against the fence. Suzuki got turned around, didn't know which way to go. Also, there was a ball hit into the corner. You know, Happ has played that field many more times than Suzuki has. So I thought Suzuki was our DH and that we weren't going to see him out in the field. And now it's 3 days in a row.
Steve, I have to say that's a great call because I'd be lying if I said I didn't have the same reaction when I saw Seiya Suzuki in the home run ball that just went out of his reach. I don't know if Ian Happ would have caught it, but it did cross my mind, and I'm trying to be fair in looking at how many days off these guys do need because they're playing in a pretty grueling stretch in some pretty difficult conditions. It's hot in St. Louis. It's very warm. And if you want to give Ian Happ a break to get him off his feet, I get it. Same with Kyle Tucker. But, yes, I did have the same thought when the home run, I can't have to check who hit it, but it went just over the glove of a leaping Seiya Suzuki, and it was this close to being an out. And I wondered if the Gold Glover might have caught it. So fair question. As for the lineup, Dansby Swanson's his average with runners in scoring position, I don't know how you can continue to justify batting him any higher than sixth. And he's up there too often with too much on the line.
312-644-6767. Jeff is on the Odyssey app. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, bonjour, monsieur. Hey, nonchalant is a origin of French word, so that's why Dustin doesn't like it. I believe you do not sit Pete C.A. You need him to play. He's a young player. He plays that way. That's who he is. You kind of gotta live with that. I think it was a one-time mistake with him. You take a chance maybe of losing him for a second if you put him down. Mm. I think you put him right back out there and say, hey, go do what you do and make up for it. Also, with tonight's draft, I believe the pick of number deux will be a Frenchman. Vive la France. Au revoir, gentlemen. Have a good day.
Wow. Was that call from Kalamazoo or Paris?
There's a joke, like a kid's joke, about a cat in France, and he drowns. And how does the cat drown? It's like, yeah, I forget. It's like un, deux, de, trois, cat sunk. You know, it's like they one, two, three, four. No,
they cannot draft Joan Berenger just for the sake of, I don't want you guys talking in French for the next 5 years. Or the next 5 hours.
I can only laugh.
Or days.
I can only laugh in French.
Yeah. Well, no, you were doing a pretty good French accent. And we have Dustin trying it too. So
I've been to France.
Let's hope they did.
I took a French lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have a French connection?
No. I cannot get you any heroin, okay. If that's the real question.
No,
it's
not the real question.
Look, but no.
Back to the Cubs for a second. Here's another thing. While we're frustrated this morning because the Cubs are in the midst of a losing skid and they lost a game last night that was frustrating because of the mental mistake by Pete Crow Armstrong, here's another thing. Can we put a little bit of a moratorium on talking about Michael Bush in the All-Star game? Because I think Michael Bush is somebody I really like as a player, and he's really improved this year. But can you vote for an All-Star if he's basically a part-time player? Craig Counsell's made him into a part-time player. He doesn't play against tough lefties. That's not All-Star caliber. That's platoon player.
I'll make you a deal.
All right.
We can talk about not putting Michael Bush into the All-Star game, provided we pass a law that no White Sox player can get into the All-Star game this year. Too.
You know, who's
they
it going to be?
They don't have a guy.
Miguel Vargas.
He doesn't deserve an All-Star.
I don't disagree with that. But I think
I like Miguel Vargas. I like that he's turned his career around. Not that much.
Okay. I would be fine with both those things.
Yeah.
Because I don't think the Sox have any deserving candidates either.
Not this year.
And I don't think that Michael Bush. I like Michael Bush, and I think he can be an All-Star caliber first baseman. I wish they would let him face left-handers. I wish they wouldn't substitute in Justin Turner just because there's a lefty on the mound they think Michael Bush can't hit.
We have to have a long talk about Justin Turner because
it doesn't have to be long.
It's fine to have him now.
It can be pretty short.
Everything's going well.
Mm-hmm.
But if things aren't going well, you need more out of that position.
Things aren't going well.
You just need someone that can come in and do something.
Mm-hmm.
He can't.
He has struggled mightily this year. And so I have looked at it differently now. Early in the season, you had to give him time to get going. I'm not saying it. I'm not saying what you want me to say.
What do I want you to say?
No, you want me to say DFA.
There he goes. He said it. He said it.
No, you heard it. No, I'm.
He kind of needs to go. No offense to him. You know, I love him. He had a great career, and
Is it a sunk cost to you then? It's 1 year, $6 million. You have a lot invested in him being the guy in the clubhouse that people appreciate and the leadership you value. You have a pinch hitter who has experience in the postseason and in high leverage situations.
And I think you're keeping him because you got a pinch hitter who has a lot of experience in the postseason and in high leverage situations. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure you're going to get there right now. I think you're going to need someone to help you get there.
7-7-3, Bush didn't have a hit last night. Well, let's not look at just last night, okay? Overall, he's been a very good hitter this year. And I just don't think Craig Counsell trusts him against lefties. And he should. He needs to, moving forward. And Turner is a guy that is probably not going to be here by the end of the year. Would you?
Well, I mean, at some point. And I'm not, I'm not picking on him. I like to say I'm not picking on someone when I say something horrible.
When you say I'm not picking on him, that means listen closely because you're going to fire on him.
That means Vinny Capra's on my mind.
Why do you spend so much time? Why is Vinny Capra renting so much space in your head? That is so. There's no other White Sox player that comes to mind more often when you think of incompetence than Vinny Capra.
I just don't know that he belongs in Major League Baseball, and that's not.
It's fair enough.
Taking a shot.
It's fair enough. That is taking a shot.
That's being
okay. You can't sit there and say that's not taking a shot.
Oh, it's taking a giant shot. That's my whole point. I'm kind of confessing to it. And when I say, like, I don't want to be personal about it, and then I talk about Justin Turner, it's the same idea.
Yeah.
He's got this Vinny Capra thing going in my head. I apologize to everyone that I've even shared that.
Yeah, no, I think it's fair. It's fair enough. No, I'm glad you did, because it does raise some really good questions about what
what's the purpose of the exercise?
What is the purpose of the exercise?
It's to win in right now.
Can I get back to the Cubs for a second?
Please.
Because they had so much that happened last night.
A Cub player that you could DFA and get enough.
Enough about Justin Turner.
Okay.
Craig Counsell frustrated me last night too, but I don't know whether it's to Craig Counsell's responsibility or PCA acting independently here. But it was the top of the seventh, and you had Kyle Tucker walked, Seiya Suzuki singled, and you had basically PCA up, and there were two runners on.
Let's listen.
The bunt in the seventh come from the bench?
No, that's Pete doing it on his own, and he was trying to take it with him, and he just, you know, just didn't get there. He left it right at the pitcher.
He's batting, and that's a cleanup hitter versus everyone else. What do you think of that decision?
Well, I mean, it's against the left-handed pitcher, and you know, he wants the ball in play. That's what he's thinking. Just get the ball in play, get the ball in play, and he just made a poor bunt.
Okay, first and third, you have Kyle Tucker at third base, Seiya Suzuki at first base. First of all, let's go back one batter. I was surprised that Kyle Tucker didn't try to steal second when Seiya Suzuki was at the plate. He would have scored. I know that's easy to second guess, but why you were in a situation where that made sense for him to try to steal. Nico Hoerner had stolen the base already, I think, that was at that point of the game. But let's focus on that. First and third, PCA is up. He's your cleanup hitter.
He's
bunting with the guy on third.
That was odd.
First and third. It's a safety squeeze. Kyle Tucker froze, or he actually didn't. I'm glad he didn't go, because he would have been thrown out.
He would have been
dead to rights.
No question.
That, to me, again, that's a mental mistake. You don't bunt there.
So
you don't bunt.
You think that he should be benched either for being nonchalant with the catch with two outs, not being aware of the outs, or for bunting in that situation, not recognizing.
Combination of both.
Should he ever be the cleanup hitter if he does something like that?
Well, you don't want your cleanup hitter having a safety squeeze in the seventh inning of a one-run game. You can't have that.
Never.
Never. But should, would you know, and I know I pick on Craig probably more than anybody else does, is that one where Craig actually needs to eat it, for lack of a better term? Like, he shouldn't, I don't think, especially all the things combined, I don't think he should have told us that Pete did that on his own.
I was a little surprised he did.
I think he should. I think he should have ate it.
I think you're right, but I think he's annoyed by it.
I think you're right.
Well, then, if he's annoyed by that, he should have been furious about the little spin in center field.
And maybe they'll have a closed door meeting, and maybe we'll hear about it from behind the scenes, but we'll never talk about it on the air. Maybe that'll happen. I don't know, but I'm just more surprised that he. Just that bluntly, he called it. He did it. And the other problem is, like, even Tucker would have been out. But if PCA did it, Tucker didn't even know it was on to get even a break.
Tucker, you know, reacted, I mean? Like he had no idea,
because it was such an odd thing, right?
That PCA was going to do that, because he didn't even appear to have a very good lead at third base.
That's what I mean.
And he wasn't even breaking like he was tempted to go.
I think he was doing it to get on base. He wasn't doing it to get the run in.
It wasn't a very good bunt, and he's not a very good bunter.
Bunt.
And I love PCA, but that's one part of his game that he isn't really skilled at yet.
He was trying to surprise them. I think that he
surprised Kyle Tucker too has appeared.
Well, but I think he felt that maybe the outcome would have been the run scored, but I don't think it was designed as, you know,
what else would have been a good outcome? Kind of double in the gap, score all both of them on base, because that's what cleanup hitters are supposed to do. Or hit the ball out of the ballpark.
Yeah, there you
because
go.
You lead the Cubs in home runs.
Right.
And Say Suzuki had quite a night at the plate. He was hitting the ball like there were missiles coming off the bat. I think his exit velocity, I know Dustin's happy about that, was 114 on the double down the line. Did not have a prayer to catch that one.
Do you believe he's an all-star player because of the way he's hitting, or does his appearance in the outfield
Say Suzuki?
Yes.
He's an all-star.
Yes.
That guy,
because of the way he's hitting.
I will back up going back to the spring and apologize for having questions about how he fit on this roster, because I think all offseason we wondered, could they trade him? Because I felt like Bellinger was a better fit for Suzuki, but Suzuki really has come out. He has a career high in home runs last night, and it's June 25th.
I'm glad you brought up Bellinger, just because – if he were in the Justin Turner role, and I'm not saying he would be ever, but wouldn't that be a guy that could produce something?
Oh, my gosh.
He'd probably be playing the outfield. He'd probably be playing first base.
In that scenario, had they done that, Michael Busch would have had to have changed positions.
Yep, likely.
Second or third, or a reconfigured infield, which I have to say, if it meant holding on to Cody Bellinger, I might have been okay with all of that, because
you wouldn't be talking about him in the All-Star game.
No, would not have been. Probably not. I'm fine with him going to the All-Star game. Look, the problem with Michael Busch isn't him. I think that he has All-Star credentials. I wish his manager would notice.
Yeah, I think because his manager doesn't notice, I don't think he deserves to get in the All-Star game.
He doesn't hit against lefties.
No, he doesn't.
And maybe you say the numbers support is, but what do you expect? It's a small sample size. Give him more time to get better at something, and maybe he will. It frustrates me when I see him out of the lineup. I know that he played last night, but yeah, Cubs are a little frustrating right now. I don't know if you could tell.
Oh, the Cubs are getting to everybody right now. Dustin, you are as miserable as you've ever been on a Wednesday morning. I'm just saying.
Fairly accurate. I'll give you a little peek also behind the curtain. I'm driving last night, taking my daughter to dance, final week to dance before we ship off to Tennessee for the final big show. When Tyone gave up that home run, I don't know about anybody else. I mean, I love the fact that air conditioning exists, but I'm a little bit sick of it. Like, we need it, but, like, I'm sick of having, like, the air conditioning just blowing in my face. So I had it on as low as you could possibly have it so that you were just comfortable and not sweating while you drove. Tyone gave up that the first home. I immediately had neck and back sweats. I tensed up. I was on my way back home, and I had to turn up the AC in the car because of what Tyone did. That's how miserable.
Neck and back sweats.
Then I jumped off the couch. Wow. Then I jumped off the couch when the Cubs took that lead. Mm-hmm. And then he immediately, my basement is like a meat locker right now because of the air conditioning.
Jameson Tyone is bad for your health.
Then I had to take the blanket off because I was mad again and getting heated up.
You were hugging your blanket? The Cubs have reduced you to that?
No, I had to have a blanket on because the basement's so damn cold, but then Tyone got me so upset I had to take the blanket
Dustin
off to get cool
blankie.
Off again.
Oh, you're blanky. That's how bad things have gotten, folks.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh. My puppy.
Oh, my God.
Oh, your puppy.
I thought, honest to God, when you started that story, I thought you were going to talk about your commute in and the rain.
That's where I thought
he was going, but he was going
almost
with
as miserable.
The neck and back sweats.
Neck and back sweats. It's tough. 5 out of 6 losses. That'll do it to you. All right, we got to talk basketball.
It's draft day. It is draft day. The Bulls are going to transform the franchise.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Are they?
Maybe. We'll ask Kendall Gill.
We'll ask Kendall. Kendall will join us next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Kendall Gill. Wow.
Kendall Gill, Chicago Bulls pre- and post-game analyst from Chicago Sports Network.
Well, you got to be able to close the show. You know, that's what all great champions do in boxing and basketball.
Former NBA player.
Gill saved with Jordan, seventh to shoot. Gill got the block.
Illini legend.
2-on-1 now. What's this? Kendall Gill making a statement.
Kendall Gill on Mully and Haw.
I really like that, guys. I mean, you know, I appreciate you shouting out the Silver Fox squad.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Kendall Gill does great work with CHSN as the Bulls pre- and halftime and post-game analyst, and he will be on tonight with Jason Goff and with our guy Casey Johnson breaking down the draft. And we love that he's joining us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Kendall, good morning. How are you?
I'm great, guys. Long time no speak to.
Yeah, we're really pumped up.
We missed you.
This could be the night, buddy. This could be it. This could be the... No? Maybe I'm reaching it. They'll get somebody who'll help at the 12th pick. Will they make a trade? There's all sorts of rumors or innuendo kind of floating around in the ether. I don't know that there's anything solid happening, but do you think this will be potentially a transformative night?
It possibly could be. You never know what's going to happen with on draft day. I mean, I've seen so many surprises happen throughout my NBA career as both a player and a broadcaster. You know, trades happen, you know, on draft day. You know, the one that possibly could be altering for the Bulls franchise is if the Bulls could swing a trade for Jonathan Kuminga. You know, he's a restricted free agent. Been lots of rumors linking Nikola Vucevic to Golden State, plus, you know, I guess some throw-ins in order to get Jonathan Kuminga. I mean, I think that would be great. And then you keep the 12th pick, and, you know, if someone by the name of Derek Queen should fall to pool,
let's go.
I'm taking that pick.
Kendall, we also agree on Derek Queen. I think that he's going to be a pretty solid NBA player. For reasons that I understand but don't totally accept, there's a suggestion that the Bulls are likely to stay away from him or would not draft him if he's there because of a style of play issue that he doesn't necessarily fit. What do you think about that, and what about him do you like?
You know, you can talk about style, you can talk about fit, all that stuff. That guy can play. Okay, he's 6'10". He was all Big Ten as a freshman, freshman of the year in the Big Ten. And, you know, sometimes you just got to throw all of that, all of the analytics and all of that stuff out of the window. And you can't pass up on a talent like him. You know, I think he's only going to get better. I think that he's going to adjust to the NBA game. Of course, you know, when I can remember my first college practice, it was so fast. And, you know, I remember coming back to my dorm room after practice and calling my dad and said, "Dad, I'm not going to make it. It was just too fast for me." You know, but eventually I made the adjustment. And I think that Derek Queen can make the adjustment as well. You know, and, you know, the guy's 6'10". He can handle it. He can shoot it. He's got a post-up game. He's got at least got that nastiness to him. And what have we been talking about for the longest with the Bulls? Oh, our guys are too nice, you know. And I think that in two consecutive drafts, that we've gotten a guy with a bit of attitude, you know, one with modest, and now you draft another guy, okay, that has a little bit of nastiness to him that can play. You know, I'm not going to pass up on a guy like that.
Yeah, you know, I think we all we love him here, and we have for a while. And I think the thing is, the guy has beautiful touch. He can score. He can score from various spots on the floor. He comes to the combine here, and apparently they don't like his athleticism. They don't like the way he jumps. They didn't like his shooting, which doesn't make sense to me. But I think that the talk has been that they need a guy who's like kind of a floor-running rim protector type who could fit defensively and offensively and play both ends. And, you know, they're talking about this French kid who's taken on a lot of shine of late. He is kind of one of these guys. He's only played basketball for 4 years, which seems insane, but he apparently can run the floor. He's a former soccer player. He's got good feet. He can do things inside, and they believe that he's moving up. And the Bulls, if they want the kid, I'm talking about this Joan Berenger, and if they want him, they might have to move for him. And apparently they've kind of, according to just what you're hearing, that he's fallen into favor with a lot of teams and will be at the draft. If they come away with a guy like that, with a guy that kind of fits the style that they've talked about playing, are you on board with it?
I would be on board with that if they can pull off a trade for Jonathan Kuminga.
Right.
You know, because I think that you need a guy that can score, a guy that's you know, a two-way guy, which, by the way, you know, the Indiana Pacers, the OKC Thunder, you look at those guys, 6'4", 6'8", two-way guys that can play both defense and offense and can do mostly everything on the floor. If you can secure a guy, if you can secure Kuminga, then I don't mind drafting that kid. But if I'm GM, guys, Derek Queen is my pick. So, but I'm not the GM. So, you know, I'm just the guy that talks about it. That's all. But, you know, AKA and those guys did a great job with the draft last year. Hopefully they'll do the same thing this year.
Kendall, you aren't the GM, but you understand how these deals work. What would it take to get Jonathan Kuminga in a sign-and-trade? I suspect it would have to be. And what is it about his ceiling that you like so much?
Well, he's young. He's hungry. He's had championship experience. He athletically, as I just mentioned, he's a two-way guy, and you know he really wants to improve. And I think that if you can match and also too, he's experienced. He's young. He's a young, experienced vet, and you know I think possibly that guy could be an all-star. You know, when he really puts it all together. I watched some of his workouts this summer, and you know, I'm just amazed at his movement, his understanding of the game. And if he can continue to improve, he's going to be a major cog for anybody that gets him. You know, I look at Obi Toppin, the way that he helped out the Indiana Pacers. I think that Kuminga is a step above Obi Toppin, even though Obi Toppin is a pretty good player now. But I think Kuminga could be a step above him. You know, you look at how much Obi Toppin helped out the Indiana Pacers in their run this season.
I think it's really interesting, the idea that they get a guy like Kuminga, because there's been talk for a long time. I know we heard from the GM recently, and he talked about the idea, oh, he can fit in. But apparently he can't fit in, and they've had some issues with him. That is the kind of player, and I like what you're describing with two guys. You could afford to take on one guy if the other guy were there, because you need a blend of players, and especially if they're talking about putting a team together the way that they're playing the style they're talking about playing. But at this point, I feel like they really, you know, if they were going to get Kuminga for Vooch, wouldn't that have already happened? Have they cooled off on Vooch? And that seemed to be one of the deals that was mentioned before. I just don't know that the Bulls are going to be able to pull it off.
Yeah, I mean, that trade rumor has been out there for a long time. But, you know, sometimes teams circle back. And sometimes, you know, they don't feel they have the need for that certain player at the time that they the trade was thought about. But, you know, maybe they think they need that now. I mean, the Bulls, at this point, we need a guy 6'8 or above that can score it, I believe. We have enough guards. You got Ayo coming back. You got Trey Jones coming back. By the way, Trey Jones played his butt off and showed another dimension to why he's one of the best and most sought after bench players and backup point guards in the league. Of course, Josh Giddey is coming up. You know, he's going to get his contract. And then you got Kobe. I mean, so, you know, we don't need, I believe, we don't need another guard. So, you know, I'm looking at a guy in that area, 6'8 or above, that's a two-way player that can really score the ball.
Kendall, very curious what you think of Kasparis Jakusconis. He is from Illinois. He is Lithuanian. And you wonder about his availability at number 12, especially with AK and with Modest and those connections. He doesn't necessarily fit because mostly the Bulls have a duplicate part in maybe Josh Giddey. And as you said, they don't need guards, and yet they might be intrigued by him if he's on the board.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great prospect, gonna play a long time in the league, but I don't think that he fits here with the Bulls. I mean, he plays the same position as Josh Giddey. And, you know, Kobe White, of course, is there. And you know, we play the same position. So it's just duplication. I'd be highly surprised if the Bulls chose him at 12.
I don't know what's going to make us feel great about tonight. You know what I mean? Like, I agree with you about Derek Queen, but I just don't know if they do. And I don't know what is good. You know, there's rumors going on that the kid from, not Harper's son, the other kid, Ace Bailey
wants to drop to
a team. He wants to drop to a city.
That's way too far. He wants to drop for him.
Well, you'd have to go get him.
Yeah.
Would he be worth going for if indeed he were one of these guys that is hoping to go to a major city?
I'm not so sure about that because of, you know, Ace Bailey was supposed to be 6'10". And when he measured...
He shrunk.
Yeah. When he measured out at 6'7". And I watched him work out with Giannis Antetokounmpo the other day. And he was drastically shorter than Giannis. And I thought he was going to be a power forward. Or a really big small forward, and that's just not the case. He's a talented kid, but once again, I say we need a guy 6'8" and above,
right,
in this draft. We need a bigger guy that can play two-way basketball. And you know, I'm not going to trade up for a guy who shrunk 3 or 4 inches in the draft.
30 seconds, Kendall. When you talk about Asa Newell from Georgia, does he fit your criteria, and would he be a good pick?
No, he would be. He would be. You know, and like he fits that mold in which I'm the Indiana Pacers and the OKC Thunder.
Right.
But you guys, you never know what the Bulls are going to do. They got a lot of trade assets. They got a lot of guards that they can move. I mean, this whole the landscape of this lineup could look totally different in the next 10, 12 hours. You know, so we
we just got to wait and see. You know, and I've heard rumors about Coby White, you know, the big trade from
right.
from Orlando, prospective trade. So, you know, we've this out of all drafts in the most recent years, this to me is the most intriguing because anybody possibly could be moved in this draft besides Josh Giddey and Modest Mousselas. I think those are the two untouchables right now.
Great stuff, Kendall. We'll be watching tonight.
Thanks, Kendall.
Thank you.
Okay, guys. Hey, and we almost got a chance to see whether my Modest Mousselas versus
Cooper Flagg
versus Cooper Flagg would have been true up close had we won that coin flip, huh?
That would have been something. That would have been something.
Right. Thanks, Kendall.
Thanks, Kendall.
All right, guys.
Tonight, Kendall Gill, Jason Goff, and Casey Johnson, yes. 8 o'clock on CHSN, a draft special. That's going to be can't miss because the Bulls, they're going to pick right around that time.
Yeah.
And who they're going to pick is still very much up for grabs.
Yeah. We have no idea.
We have some idea.
Well,
we just talked about some guys.
We have four names.
But there really isn't a favorite, I don't believe.
No, not yet. And I, you know, I struggled to think if they're going to get it right. We'll see. 312-644-6767. That's the number. You got a guy that you.
Who do you want?
Is your can't-miss guy. Our can't miss guy, they're going to miss. Mully and Haw on the score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Gillespie from the out of bounds to the freshman queen who's driving, floats it.
Oh!
Maryland on the right side of a buzzer beater with life into the Sweet 16.
Mully and Haw, Chicago
that.
Sports killer queen.
Yes.
For Derek Queen.
That's great. Okay. Brandon Fryer. That's a great musical choice.
Yeah, okay. They're not going to take him.
Well, we can hope.
Okay.
One can hope. Mully.
I'm trying not to set myself
draft.
Up for the fail.
We're 12 hours away from where the Bulls likely will be picking. And if they can get a killer queen tonight, I think we all will feel very good in the morning.
Oh, there's no shadow.
We shot out of a cannon tomorrow morning.
But I'm having a difficult time engaging about Derek Queen because I've been shot down on that. And it just, you know, it impacts you.
I have been wounded as well. I have been wounded by Casey Johnson, the voice of reason.
Well, that's the problem.
Who says he doesn't fit the scheme.
No.
He doesn't fit the style. And my retort has been, well, don't you pick the best available player regardless of scheme and style?
No, they are going to get a guy that fits the style they want to play. They're going to get a guy that can run the floor, a guy with a little bit of height. I don't know that they'll be able to get a guy of great, you know, I don't know that they're getting a 7-foot player, but they'll get a guy at 6'10".
Wouldn't you say, though?
They can run the floor and they can block a shot.
In your experience.
Yes.
And we both have been around a while.
Yes, we have.
And we've seen a lot of different drafts, a lot of different sports.
Yes.
Is it safe to say that typically when teams draft based on scheme or style of play, it tends to be a mistake because you can force those kinds of decisions. And when you pick the best available player, the best organizations and teams tend to fit their style and scheme around the talent they have.
Generally speaking, I think that's accurate. But I also wonder if they've got, you know, I don't have tons of confidence that they're going to make the right selection and do the right thing. And unlike the Bulls, I'm not sure that I would have been handing out extensions. And I just don't know that I trust what they're doing necessarily. And I'm not trying to be mean about it.
No, but I am the ball tonight. The what you can accomplish tonight with the decision makers who are going to be here for a while, this would be a good night for me. Draft Derek Queen, 12th overall.
Yeah.
Trade for Jonathan Kuminga. And whatever you give up in a sign-in trade, you give up because it would be worthwhile to get a 22-year-old with that kind of ceiling. And if you can enter next season with a combination of Derek Queen and Jonathan Kuminga, Montrezl Bozelis, and friends.
Well, then you're doing what they've talked about, winning by having various players that are really good.
A committee, an ensemble, rather than just one or two stars.
And
it's risky, but it's an approach.
I don't think it's risky. I think if they came away with a group like that, I think given the state of the Eastern Conference, maybe they would be able to influence things and to make a little bit of a push that would be somewhat unexpected going into tonight.
That is the essential point.
Yes.
Boston is unloading.
They are.
They're looking like rebuilding. Who's going to end up with Jaylen Brown tonight? That would be interesting if he's on the market. You look around, wow, and there's a lot of teams reloading, rebuilding. The Eastern Conference is compromised because of injury, and it's available to a team that can know how to build their roster accordingly.
I was reading a thing online. It was really interesting. It was a letter to the editor of the Boston Globe, and it was written by Sam Presti. And he was telling them, don't do this, don't do that. You should draft Jason Kidd. That Kidd is going to have a great career because he's a good – he was 16 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
He wrote that letter at the age of 16. That's the kind of guy you need running your team. That's so, all I'm saying.
Suddenly
– We got Ozzie Guillen next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.